MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Now, crypto, I read, is rapidly losing one of its old attractions for taxpayers. What am I talking about? Well, the relative invisibility. From March this year, South Africa's new crypto asset reporting framework began requiring crypto service providers to collect detailed transaction information for SARS, including purchases, disposables, and wallet transfers. So I think the big question for companies is becoming less about whether SARS can see the crypto and more about whether they can justify how they have accounted for it. Joining me now is Mohammed Mayet, who is Director and Head of Tax at HLBCBS Group South Africa. Mohammed, thank you very much indeed. Is this really then a crypto tax crackdown, or is SARS simply getting better at seeing transactions that were always taxable in the first place?
Yeah, greetings to you, Jeremy, and thank you for the opportunity, and greetings to your listeners. I think it's a very important question, and it's a balancing act between, you know, the SARS crackdown on crypto trades per se, together with, you know, something that has already been there for a period of time where, you know, the revenue authority is seeing that as a potential pot of extra revenue where taxpayers in the South African context, you know, have not accounted for crypto correctly in their tax return in whichever form or manner. So, you know, it's a balancing act of the combination of both.
Is crypto becoming more widespread in terms of use in that respect, do you think?
Yeah, so, you know, current data is showing approximate figures of about 6 million South Africans, whether taxpayers registered or not registered, but, you know, about 6 million South Africans playing in the crypto space. And naturally, you know, if you look at 6 million people playing in crypto space, one would then, from a revenue authority perspective, think, okay, so is this 6 million people making profits, losses, playing offshore at other platforms around the world? And as I, as SARS, do I get my rightful share of taxes where the taxes are due? So, you know, on that basis, yes, you know, it is a broader issue to look at in terms of, you know, revenue flows to the authority, which the authority believes that, you know, there is crypto taxes that are due to us in whichever form or manner through these, you know, number of people trading in crypto throughout South Africa.
The framework, as I understand it, requires service providers then to report transactions to SARS, all well and good. So, Mohammed, how much more visibility then does SARS have than it perhaps had in the past?
Yeah, so historically there was no visibility. And then obviously, you know, the data started showing so many South Africans, as I've mentioned, that are dealing or, you know, trading in crypto. And hence the reporting framework from an SA perspective started beefing up. And that means that reporting framework requires two things. The first thing it requires is reporting of certain information, data information, user information, platform information, number of trades. All these finer details is now providing the data intelligence that SARS needs. And SARS would then do its own, in the second instance, its own data mining, and then filter that to, by way of example, you know, an individual's tax return or a business tax return or whomever, and see exactly, okay, we have reasonable amount of data to make a determination that you have traded with crypto on these platforms. And the suggestion is that, you know, you have traded so much. Where's your declaration? Have you made a profit? Have you made a loss? Whatever the case is. So the data integrity is becoming more and more of an important factor to make the determination. So it's a definitely beef up in that reporting framework.
So does using then an offshore exchange or even moving crypto into a private wallet still offer taxpayers any meaningful degree or form of anonymity?
So, you know, in general, when the platforms move, whether you move to, you know, a private wallet, whether you move offshore, there's visibility of your trading account, and each user has a unique, you know, password and an account and a summary of your trades. So let me just give you an example. I mean, if you know, if you're trading in Singapore, if you're trading in Hong Kong, if you're trading in the US, it doesn't matter. You are linked to an account. And whether that account is split into private wallets or not, you have a summary of that trade. And that summary of that trade then makes the determination amongst other as your base of what is your activity. And those activities are again critical to the data integration process, because the more data in the reporting framework that I have from these platforms as the revenue authority, the more I can make a better determination of exactly where you're playing, how you're playing, where in which platforms are you playing domestically and cross borders. So yeah, you know, to answer that question, you know, it's an integrated approach to get hold of the holistic picture of a taxpayer.
And in that respect, the biggest issue then would be one of classification. Why is deciding whether a gain then is capital or revenue so difficult?
Yeah. So, you know, historically, current and going on to the future, the capital versus revenue argument will always be there. We've had many, many court cases in front of our courts around the capital and revenue argument. And it's an ongoing, you know, practice by SARS, by taxpayers to say, am I in the capital box or am I in the revenue box? And that classification has a number of factors to determine whether you fall into the revenue box or capital box. One big differentiation I can just, you know, allude our audience to is the following. I'm a doctor. I have a practice and, you know, I run my, you know, my medical practice through there. But I've decided to potentially, you know, look at crypto, and I see, you know, it's quite reluctant and it gives you good returns. But I want to build a small nest for my family. And I thought perhaps maybe let me play crypto for a long-term benefit. I'll throw $1,000 into it and leave it for 15, 10, 15 years, 5 years, 6 years, whatever the case is, right? And on that basis, what is my income? My income is my practice. And this is like an investment that may materialize and give me some golden nest. So, you know, it's a more long-term approach. It's more capital in nature. Let's turn the coin the other way around. I don't have anything to do and I sit every day of my life and I play crypto. I live off it. I pay my bills. I meet my commitments and I do this every day, every week, every month. And that's my income. And that puts you into the revenue box. This is a very simple example to have this classification and differentiation factor. It can get a bit complicated when you go into more further level two, level three detail. But just this gives you an indication of this argument between capital and revenue.
Mohammed Mayet, I'm going to leave it there. Director and Head of Tax at HLB CBS Group South Africa. Appreciate your time today. Thank you.